Long Beach sermons. Visit us at citychurchlongbeach.org.
Snacks packed in my bag beside me.
What's in your snack pack?
Well, yeah, my son laughed at me later because of my carrot sticks. But I wanted my carrot sticks. Anyway, but so I'm just there. I'm just like, and this other mom starts sharing with me like all her ideas. She, like me, it's like her first year on the team. Maybe I don't think she's done Snack Shack before either. So we're both newbies. But she has ideas like what about nacho cheese? Like a crock pot. And she's just kind of going through this whole thing. And I think she's really cool, right? And I'm like, but in my head, I'm thinking, that never would have occurred to me. I was just showing up for my shift, and here's this woman who has like ideas to make Snack Shack better. This is politics. So then another parent comes by, the mom who's been arranging the whole thing. You know, and so in this little political system, she's the big wig, right? And so questions start to rise. Like, what happens? How is she gonna respond to the newbie's idea to have melted cheese? We can imagine different kinds of responses. And then later on, I'm talking with my husband, you know, who actually knows more about this stuff than I do, because that's just his part of the parenting game in our house. You know, and so I'm sharing my little experiences. I'm like, oh, and I heard there was this fundraiser. You know, it was more like a social event, and it doesn't sound fun to me. And he's like, yeah, I don't think we have to go to that. He was like, I mean, hopefully there won't be repercussions. Like, hopefully the coach doesn't, like, assign playing time based on how parents show up. This had never occurred to me. Politics. And to be clear, I'm not saying this has happened. I'm not saying that's a dynamic, but that somebody would raise the possibility there could be politics. So, silly example, right? But politics are all around us. How do we organize for the common good? And is that actually what we're doing? As people pick up their power, are they using it for the common good? Or do they start to use it in ways that are less healthy, more toxic, more about helping some people and actually pushing others to the side? Power run amok. That is why we fear talking about politics, right? Because while power is actually a very neutral, it's like a tool, right? Martin Luther King Jr. would say it's the ability to get things done. But how we use it is a totally different question. Here's the other place I haven't said right, but churches are political. Are some of you already thinking that, right? It's not just playground politics, not just breakground politics, not just Snack Shack politics. Churches are political. Internally, we have to think all the time, how are we using our power? The fact that all of you are sitting here, like, you know, maybe we're not the biggest, most impressive, shiny church, but there's power in this room because you guys are here. How do we use that power? Is it for the good, for the building up? But there's also the external politics of the church. How do churches get involved in the broader life of the community, locally, nationally? And we've seen some abuses of that power, right? We've seen people who seem to pick it up and man, want to wield it like a weapon. That's their vision of what the church should do with its power in the sphere. And others who actually seem to kind of go the other way and say, like, we're not going to be involved at all in public spaces and in public politics. So given all of that, I just want to start by saying, we don't want to tell you how to vote, right? That's not what we want to do in a series talking about politics. That, I think, would be an overuse of our power, whatever that is. The power that you guys give us because we get to stand up here every Sunday and you give us a bit of your time, right? We don't want to tell you how to vote. We think that would be an overreach. But on the other hand, it would be an underreach for us not to say, hey, there's some broad principles in terms of, yes, how do we think about power and how do we think about the common good and what does it look like to follow Jesus as somebody involved in a political system, as a citizen, as a resident, as a neighbor? So we want to talk about some theological distortions that we're hearing a lot these days going around, even some things we might call heresies. And we want to suggest some of those broad principles. And we're going to do that by following the prayer that Jesus taught his friends, often called the Lord's Prayer. And we want to actually look at how that prayer had political implications back when Jesus taught it to his friends and still has political implications today. It really speaks into these bigger questions of how we use power in pursuit for the sake of love. So if you would welcome with me, our friend Sochi is going to come up and read scripture for us this morning. Would you guys welcome Sochi? And if you'd like to stand, and you're able, just to stand in honor of the reading of God's word.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Our Father in heaven, sorry.
this is the scripture. She's reading, this is actually from Matthew chapter 6. So. Yeah.
Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
People of God, this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for reading our scripture, which sounded a lot like a prayer. Jesus' friends are asking him, like, hey, how do we talk to God? And Jesus says, well, we use this as a model, and that's what he lays out. He lays out the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, depending what you call it. And it casts a vision of how we interact with Almighty God, and it impacts how we think about how we do this world, how we do community, how we do power, and all the little systems. I kind of just want to stop right now and be like, that little sermon introduction was like, that's it. Like, I'm done. Like, what else is there to say? Like, I just love, like, these are the issues. How do we do it? How do we use power? All right. So I'm going to be very brief and let Brenna keep talking because she's thought more about this than I have. So Lisa Sharon Harper, in her very thoughtful book, it's called The Very Good Gospel, she talks about this prayer of Jesus as being subversive, as kind of getting underneath some of the ways the world normally operates and prying it up and flipping it over. Because what Jesus is doing here is he's laying out a new set of priorities with clarity so that we can participate in what God is already doing. Does that make sense? So we're not initiating. God is already on the move, and we're going to try to see what God is up to. And this prayer is we're saying, hey, I see you, God, and I see you on the move. I want to participate, right? So in our vision statement as a church, it's joining with him in the renewal of all things. Because God is at work renewing all things, and we're trying to participate. And so Jesus is giving us this prayer as sort of as a lever to flip some things on their head. And the first piece, this is the way that Lisa Sharon Harper writes that verse 9 in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven. She writes it this way. God, be our deepest love and highest loyalty, whatever else tries to claim our hearts. Mm. Right? So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name, or you are holier, you are better, you are bigger. It's this appeal to our deepest love and our highest loyalty, saying, this is where I'm grounded. And just this intro line to the prayer is a big piece of kind of sorting through some of the ditches we fall into when it comes to talking about politics. Because on one side, there's this ditch is where we look to a political leader to be our savior, mm-hmm. right? And sure, there are examples in this season of people literally using savior language, you know, the anointed by God, this sort of stuff, right? Which is just weird.
And some really just amazing images even that you can find out there, right? Like
yes, remarkable things. And that's sort of the most pronounced. It also goes to, you know, what do we stake our hope on? Mm-hmm. Is our hope in a political solution to every problem? And then on the other side, because some of you are already like, well, hold on now, you know there's, but on the other side, there's apathy. Right, where we're like, well, there's not gonna be a political solution to every problem. So I don't need to do anything, right? I don't need to vote, I don't need to participate, I don't need to protest. I don't need to have conversations with people. And I really think these are the ditches on the side of this road, and the road is healthy to be on the road. I mean, typically for myself, I've fallen over here into this ditch. So for 50 years, I'm 56 now, but for 50 years, I would have nothing to do with politics. I mean, I barely voted. I'm not proud of this, but partly I became, sort of had a religious experience. I met Jesus as a high schooler, and the religious tradition that I was particularly a part of, the kind of evangelicalism that I grew up in, and there are different kinds of evangelicalism and different kinds of Christianity and other religions, but my brand was, you don't have to worry about politics because God's in control. So you don't have to think about that stuff. Which now when I look at it, I realize I'm not sure that's actually healthy. I don't think the other ditch is healthy either, which is all of our problems are going to be solved by politics. But isn't there some place in the middle? And to get to the middle road, and the middle road is not a road of compromise, it's a road of clarity and health. Mm. Where we actually engage in the political process because we are part of this community and a broader community, and God is at work in the renewal of all things. So we work at that. And one of the areas we do that is we participate in the political process. We can stay in this healthy, clear space by being grounded by things like this prayer. We remember it's God who's our deepest love and our highest loyalty. We're grounded. No one else is our savior, but also we're grounded in love to participate with this God. So we're not gonna just sit by. That's not what God's doing. So why would we do that? Hmm. And so if we're grounded in love, it actually decreases our anxiety and it increases our courage to engage, to participate. Mm-hmm. There's a passage in the New Testament where it says that love casts out fear. And there's so much fear these days. Fear that drives us to apathy, or fear that drives us to finding a savior. Fear that we might actually have to engage ourselves in tricky conversations, at times being corrected, times actually being open to people we may not even like, to listen and learn. But love actually overcomes fear. And so we're really trying to press into this approach for the next 7 weeks. And so what I want to do is I want to read one of the passages that I think, in my opinion, is in the back of Jesus's mind as he teaches this prayer. When he's talking about it to his Father in heaven, my sense is he's referring back to a prayer, a prayer that was prayed regularly by his people, the people of Israel, okay? And as we listen, I'm just going to read this prayer for us. It's from Psalm 146. It's verses 3 through 10. And it's about God and God being in the heaven, right? That's how it starts out. You know, our Father in heaven, or, you know, our deepest love, our highest loyalty, however you want to translate it. But it starts with like, hey, you're God, we're not. And then it goes through, God, these are your values. Huh. Wow, those are your values, God. Okay, that's going to affect how I move through this world and participate in the communal project. And then it closes with a reminder, God is God. Hmm. We're not. So listen to Psalm 146 as sort of the background prayer as Jesus comes forward and puts it in a new light and teaches it to us. So listen to this prayer from Psalm 146. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. Hope in Yahweh, your God, who is the maker of heaven and earth, who upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. Yahweh sets prisoners free. Yahweh gives sight to the blind. Mm. Yahweh lifts up those who are bowed down. Yahweh watches over the foreigner in our midst and sustains the fatherless and the widow. Yahweh reigns. Mm.
All right, I want to do something right now. I think the educators among us would call this pair and share. Turn to someone next to you. You're just going to be in groups of two or three. And what's a word that you loved from that reading? What's a piece that stuck out to you? Just going to give you like 30 seconds. Pair and share. Turn to someone next to you. If you hate the idea of doing that, talk to yourself. Zoom, you can do it in chat. Oh, we're pairing and sharing. It's just such a beautiful picture of God. You know, just the widow and the orphaned, and yeah, I want to follow that God. How about you?
Maybe I was struck by the foreigner in our midst. Mm-hmm. Like, God specifically,
Yeah. Kevin, do you have one? Yeah, yeah. Okay, Kevin back here. We have Kevin, who is doing our slides, projecting. He's the man behind the curtain this morning and many other mornings. He's just grinning huge. He just has this big smile on his face because of this feeling of listening to us, listening to all of you, probably watching some chat on the Zoom. Like, this was a fun passage, right? I don't know about you guys, but I was just having a sense of like, I like this God. Right? Listening to the passage, I like this God. I like what he's about. And I actually don't use the he all that often. I like this God and what they are about. Yeah. And we are created in the image of this God. Like Bill was saying, I loved the way he put it. This middle, this path, it's not about compromise. It's about conviction. I would say it's even about calling, right? That we are called to represent this God in the world in the way that God presented God's self in Jesus, right? To love, to heal, to seek renewal. So the second thing, we're just going to take a minute to think about, but in this intro phrase, this very first piece of the Lord's Prayer, in this phrasing of God our Father, it's this interesting tension, interesting juxtaposition of words, where we really get to experience the transformative possibility of power joined with love. Power gathered not just for self-interest or for the interest of the few, but power gathered for the common good, for renewal, for healing, for lifting everyone up. Because in this word God, often to many of us, that's a word that can sound a bit far off. I mean, it's a word that brings up for us all the awesomeness of God, the bigness, right? The power, the authority. And for some of us, if we have not experienced in relationships like that, for instance, with our parents, relationships with authority embedded in them, with power embedded in them, if we have not experienced how power can be joined with love, it's very difficult for us to hear the word God and not experience it as the potential of judgment, the potential of being slapped down. But God, our Father, God, the one who loves us, God, the one who provides for us, God, the one who seeks our best, God, who cares for us and invites us into intimate relationship, God, who loves us, that's a very different picture, right? That's power that we can trust. That's power that we can want to emulate how it's being used. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Had a quote that I often go back to just because I think it articulates so much of what we're talking about today so well. It says, power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. And justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. Now I'm gonna ask that we keep that quote up there for a couple minutes while we go back to the Snack Shack. It's very important today to really think about the Snack Shack. So power without love, what does that look like? Well, it's very different than what actually happened, but you could imagine a situation where, you know, mom in charge comes up to check on the newbies. A newbie says, I have this idea about a crock pot with melted cheese. And mom in charge feels really threatened. What, you don't like my snacks? The chocolate and the chips? That's not enough for you, right? Like, and you could imagine a situation where that mom slaps it down. And that would be so sad, wouldn't it? Right? That would be power without love, reckless and abusive. It would smash down this wonderful woman, this mom who wants to get involved and help and bring her creativity and her skills and her crock pot. And the whole community would lose out because probably some people would enjoy, but not the crazy ones with the carrots in their bag, right? You're normal people. Would be really excited to have some melted cheese with their chips.
Or with their carrots.
Or with their carrots. Hey, now, that's some creative thinking. I like it. And in actuality, mom in charge was the kind who said, ooh, interesting. Yeah, I love it when people, you know, I put out my list, you add your thing. People add specialty items that they want to bring. It's power with love for the sake of the community.
Did you quote Martin Luther King there?
I didn't. I was thinking it.
I bet you were. I know you were.
So if you ever sit at a Snack Shack with me, know that an interesting dialogue is happening in my head. But without the two things, right, the nacho cheese isn't going to happen. You have to have and have to have both together. Or what about the situation? And again, it didn't actually happen. But if the parents who didn't want to go to the wine night, you know, if their kids got penalized for not being wine drinkers, not having the funds to buy the wine or, you know, whatever. Again, power without love. We need the two together where it's all coming together to say, it's not about anything except the kids, right? And how are we working together? And because we're doing that, we're going to put aside little things about like our own egos. Right? We're going to think, how do we do this best? And how can we be kind to each other and lift each other up and bring all the ideas and the creativity and the skills? And this is what makes little communities like the Snack Shack happen, right? And it's actually the same thing that plays out in broader scales. Do we have the love? Do we have the power? Can we bring them together in the interest of justice for the common good? So one of the things that we did over the summer is that our board gathered together and we took, I think, about an hour to have a politics conversation together. Just to kind of say, like, and we really, you know, knowing, just like everybody else, there's going to be some tension. There's some structure to it, how we were going to listen well to each other, but just some open-ended questions about the feelings we were bringing into the political season, you know, some of the principles that ground us, things like that, and listening to each other. Principles of faith that guide you as you vote. And for me, the one that I had to share, and I heard all sorts of brilliant things, to be clear. So again, this is just mine, just speaking for myself. For me, I just go back to the two greatest commandments that Jesus shared. It's love God and love your neighbors. And so when I think about politics, I just think of it as one of the ways that I'm showing up to love my neighbors. Not the only way. You know, as people of faith, politics is not the only way that we show up to love our neighbors. You know, we've collected 500 backpacks recently, right? Now we have Emma and Andrew encouraging us to pull together hygiene kits, and you can get books for Lafayette, and there's partnering with Wrigley Coffee for trauma-informed workplace development in our community house, and people achieving housing security. I mean, there are so many different ways we can get involved and love our neighbors. But it would be somewhat naive, disingenuous, not to admit that politics is something that affects our neighbors. That it is a strong and powerful way in our society. It controls a lot of money, right? Resources, laws that affect people, that bring them in to the center of community or push them aside. And so to ignore how all of these things in our political space can affect my neighbors just doesn't seem right to me. This is not the only way. It's certainly not a simple way or a clean way. Politics is messy, right? Whether it's at the Snack Shack or it's the national election, it's messy because it's full of people who are messy and flawed, just like us. But it matters. And so that's one of the reasons we're politically active as people who follow Jesus, because we want to work to love well and make sure that other people are as well, that we're combining that love and that power.
So I was not at that board meeting when they talked about politics. I was on my sabbatical this summer. But we wanted to invite up someone who was there, mm-hmm. Our friend Judy Kim. If you would welcome Judy up, she's going to share a little bit about that conversation.
Judy, we're going to put you in the center so Zoom can see you too, okay?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
My palms are sweaty.
You got this.
Woo! I think politics just, and being on stage.
Yeah.
It's
lovely combination.
What a combo, right? What a combo. So I wasn't there at the meeting. And I didn't hear the conversation. I really haven't heard that much about it. But I was curious, how had you been feeling about the political process before coming to the board meeting and having that conversation, and before, or just maybe even knowing that this sermon series was out there?
Yeah, a lot of anxiety. So I had been, until recently, I had been staying away from politics just for my mental well-being. Just politics, it can be so contentious. It's about power, and I felt powerless in a lot of ways. It seemed like there were forces, kind of bigger forces outside of my control. Lots of like feelings of hopelessness. So I had been staying away from politics for a little bit, just to not think about it, just give myself a break. Mm-hmm.
Which can be healthy, right?
Yeah,
I mean, as a therapist.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, I think, yes, I think it is. It is healthy to give yourself a break. And then when it felt right, I started coming back to, okay, let's think about this again, because this matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bet many of us can relate to, like, well, it seems so big, what can one person do?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this, you know, we have these thoughts, these feelings, right? So, so that night you came to the board meeting, and you guys had a conversation. What was that like? What are some of the feeling words you would describe for that night? Or, you know, what went on?
Yeah, I think I was hopeful. Somebody mentioned at the board meeting, I think, that we had built up a lot of, I think, social capital, or just that feeling of, you know, we're safe with one another, and we're coming at this conversation with humility and openness and love. So I think I was like, okay, this can be good. This can be good. So I think I was coming to the conversation with more hope.
Yeah. Was there disagreement that night? Was there some tension, maybe healthy tension, maybe unhealthy tension? I don't know.
I was thinking about it. I think what I appreciated about the conversation was everyone, like, we weren't copycats of each other, kind of repeating the same sentiments or thoughts. There was, you know, just different maybe emphasis or different concerns, just differences that I noticed, which I think is healthy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't contentious. We weren't like arguing with each other or, you know, putting each other down. We were just coming within, like, here's where I am. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I've been feeling. So I think that was good.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, in the board, we had that kind of capital, the feeling of safety with one another, and I think that was really important.
Yeah, yeah, we don't always get that in our workplaces or even in our families.
With our families, friends, yeah. It can feel very unsafe sometimes.
Yeah, it can, So as you think about this sermon series, the next 6 weeks, and, you know, national election coming, we're trying to follow Jesus. What are some of the questions? What are some of the concerns that you personally have, that you think about and are on your mind?
I think I want to be more comfortable with being uncomfortable, if that makes sense. You know, sometimes being in the gray area can be uncomfortable, and when I have views that are so important to me, when that it feels like that's being challenged, that can be really uncomfortable. So I just want to be more comfortable in the gray, and also just remember that God is the center of how we think about things, how we feel about things. And so I hope that, you know, our conversation center on God. And also, I think the other thing I'm hoping for is to get to hear from, like, our community, right? I'm listening to the news, listening to podcasts, and it's at the, you know, like, the country, the national level, but I would love to hear what our community is feeling, what politics means to you all, and what stories you have. The board meeting felt like really short. The conversation felt really short. It's such a complex topic. How do you talk about it in an hour? So I'm really glad that this is like a 7-week-long series.
So good. A lot of times we end by just saying, do you have a question for for us. You don't have to. You absolutely don't have to. But we want to give people permission. You poor people get up here and we harass you with all these questions. We like to give you the chance to harass back if you want.
I think I'll give you an easy one. Easy one.
I'll take that. Yeah.
Is there something that you didn't get to say this morning that you would like to say?
Huh. You know, when you meet with a therapist, like they're so like always gonna have like this. Man, you're so good. You're so good. Yeah, I'll say something. I feel anxious about, you know, I feel new to this. I mean, my son actually literally works in politics full time, but for me it's new. And part I've gotten into politics because I'm like, I love my son, and I realize, oh man, I've been missing out. I've not been doing my, I'm anemic in this side of my faith. So I feel a little anxious and a little undereducated. So true confessions.
I can't think of anything that I didn't say that I wanted to, so I think I'm good. Bam. But I appreciate the question.
Thank you, Judy Kim. We appreciate you. You are so good. Thank you.
Do you want to invite us?